Today on Real Radio.
God is into memorials that remind us of his great work and his great deliverance. But when was the last time you and I thought about his greatness? That we just stopped and pushed back from our day-to-day grind and just said, Lord, I remember you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. And the first 10 verses of Joshua chapter 4 tell us that the entire nation of Israel had now passed over the Jordan. Of course, the only way that that could have happened is through a divine miracle. And so the God of Israel himself commanded Joshua to take himself and some of his top men and lay down 12 stones as a memorial to this big event. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a look at this portion of Joshua in a study called Life and What It Should Mean.
It came to pass, and look at the next word, it says, when all the people had completely crossed over. Another time issue. It comes to pass, yes, and it shall, and God will see to it. But also, when the people had completely crossed over. Joshua has given us a narrative here that God was keeping in pace with his time decree. And when the people had gotten across, it was just the right time. And it was right at the right time when all of them made it. Not one was swept away. Not one was lost. In Galatians 4, verse 4, the Bible says that God, who in the fullness of time sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ. That word fullness of time means to keep the appointed moments. God had a moment bound in eternity that he knew. God knew the moment that Jesus should be born into the world. That very moment. A lot of people say today, you know, if I could just live back in the time when Christ lived, I'd have much stronger faith. You know, that's not true. Did you know that? It's not true. Well, if I could just see God part the Jordan River, then I would believe him more. That's not true. It doesn't work that way. People see miracles, and yet they give up on believing in God. It's tragic, but some people even have miracles in their life take place and they give up on God because they're focused on the temporal things rather than the eternal God. But another thing that we want to look at regarding this is God is not only in control of time, which makes it always the right time, but God intervenes. It says in verse 1 that the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, so in the moment of this great monumental crossing of the Jordan River as the children go from that eastern side where Moab and the Golan Heights on the east side of the Jordan, on the east side of the Dead Sea. When they cross over now, as they're going across, they go on to what we call today the West Bank, the western side of the Jordan, the area of great dispute. Why? Well, it's the land of what? Milk and honey. Everybody wants it. Isn't it funny? Everybody, they love it. They want it. It's prized land to Israel. God had promised it to Abraham. Even the land itself, to the Israeli mind, to the Jewish mind, is a great monument to God's love and God's faithfulness. But have you noticed in life, not only does God intervene in life, but it says in verses 2 and 3 that really the right time is now. He says, take for yourselves 12 men from the people. That is now. It is to do it now, Joshua. One man from every tribe and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan. Again, that word will come across it a few times this morning. The word midst means the deepest part of the Jordan. The midst of the Jordan from the place where the priest stood firm. And you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the place of lodging where you lodge tonight. That is going to be Gilgal, the town of Gilgal, or the name Gilgal means the rolling back, or the circle, or the rolling back, Gilgal, to roll back. We'll cover that more in future studies. By the way, from the Jordan River to Gilgal is about 8 miles. And these stones these guys are to pick up, they're not pebbles. Imagine, I'm sure, think about it. You 12 guys go back into the river and get 12 stones and put them on your shoulders. We're not talking some pebble here. Oh, they're big stones. I got this piece of petrified wood in my office. It's about this big, and it's so heavy. We're probably talking about stones that weigh maybe, I don't know, maybe 50 pounds, maybe more, because, you know, it's fairly easy for any of us guys to put 100 pounds of a sandbag on our shoulder. We can walk quite a way with that. These people are certainly much better in shape than we are. But it's a stone of significance. It's a stone so significant that he's going to tell us in a moment that they're even there to this day, and that would have been 20 years after this event when this book was written. So we're talking about some serious stones here, but ones that are carried by these men, 12 of them, 12, one for each tribe of Israel. But have you noticed, regarding time, that where we're at, and our view of God makes a great, great difference in how we view things. Meaning that there's a lot of people who are just nostalgic perpetually. And I don't mean that in a good way. There's some validity to being nostalgic. You know what I mean? It's like when I was growing up, my parents had a stereo in the house. And believe me, when I was growing up, stereos, you didn't put the little foam rubber thing in your ear. The stereo took up half the wall. It was a huge Packard Bell monster thing. And you took this big black disc called an album, and you put it on with a needle. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. The kids are, what? What's he talking about? It's from another age and another world. And at Christmas, I'd hear Perry Como. And I'm thinking, Mom and Dad are sick. They're nuts. And Perry Como. And, you know, the Beach Boys had a Christmas album back then, but they didn't play that. They played Perry Como or Dean Martin or one of these guys, Nat King Cole, you know? And I thought they were crazy. And the other day, I press scan on my radio, and the car's got a scan button. You press scan, and it goes through and samples stations, and some of it is just, and then it goes, and they say, and it goes on, and it came to, I think it was Perry Como, and I stopped it. Whoa. And and the first thing I thought of was my mom's cream puffs with powdered sugar on them. How strange that is. And then the next thought I had was coming home before football practice, I'd come home and I'd eat Cheetos with a big tall glass of milk or Oreo cookies, dipping them in there, you know, and eating them away while I was watching Sea Hunt and Highway Patrol. Remember that? Dun, 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 dun. And Broderick Crawford would jump out of the car and with one little gun kill all the thugs and hoodlums. Remember that? And nostalgic. But some people just live there. I remember the good old days. The good old days, I don't remember all being that good. You see, we have a tendency, and it's our human God-given ability, thank God, to remember more of what was good of the past than what was bad, because if that were not true, we'd wind up being depressed all the time. We look back and, you know, in fact, people will say, "Didn't we have a great time? Remember that? Oh, it was wonderful." Well, I guess so, yeah. We always make it more awesome 5 years, 10 years later. Those were the days. I don't know if they were now that I'm thinking about it. People always living in the past. Some people, they don't want the past. They don't want the present. They're always looking to the future. Well, I suppose it's okay for now, but I can't wait for the new one to come out. There's always something in the future. This is, I guess, the way it's got to be. So they'll order food. They're never happy about the present time. Food will come. I should have ordered the filet mignon. Always looking to the future, like the future's going to deliver them from everything. Yet they're always looking and never being content with that very moment that they're living in. God, what are you going to do about this? And what are you going to do about that? Let him be God. You just follow him, okay? He's in control. And Joshua's commanding the children of Israel, 12 of them, pick up stones. And now, none of the people said, why? It's not recorded. I think I would have asked why. We just walked across them. We're on here on this side. Why don't we go back in? Joshua speaks unto the 12, go back in, go down back there, go back inside, and get 12 stones from the place where the priest stood. It's going to be a memorial. And we're going to set it up in the place that we sleep tonight. That's neat, I think, especially in the morning. Why? Because when you look at those stones, it all come back to you. When you hear a song, doesn't it come back to you, the events that surround that song? When you see a clip, a newsreel of something, doesn't it come back to you? You can almost smell the place and hear the sounds. God is into memorials that remind us of His great work and His great deliverance. But when was the last time you and I thought about His greatness? That we just stopped and pushed back from our day-to-day grind and just said, Lord, I remember You. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 12, verse 5, that the Lord God, He is the Lord, and His name is memorable. Wow. God, You know Him. When was the last time we sat back and just mused on His greatness? No, the time for us to be existing is now. We have been born for a reason. We're living for a purpose. Because we have given our hearts to Jesus Christ. We are so rich. We have so much. The world out there right now, they are doing everything they can to forget about their past, to live for the now, and they hope to some god or gods that what they're doing now will not affect their future. They're Epicurean, if you know what that means. It's pleasure-seeking. It's the concept, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And the world needs us. They just don't know it yet. The world needs us to be a memorial to them, to walk up to them and share. You want to make a memorial in somebody's life? Think about it. This is kind of fun. You could leave this place today, walk up to a total stranger, and give them a memorial, something to remember. Hi! Do you know Jesus? I tell you what, they'll remember that day. They'll go to work tomorrow saying, I bumped into an idiot at the store. Can you believe it? This guy walked up and said, he asked me if I knew Jesus. Oh, that'll make an impact in somebody's life. It's certainly within our power to do. The next thing that we see about life and what it should mean, the second thing in verses 4 through 8 is that we should be making a difference in the world that we live in. We should be having an influence. Joshua says in verse 4, he says, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, and one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord. Get right in front and go there in to the midst of the Jordan. Each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 6 says, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them, listen to this, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Verse 8 says, and the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Making a difference in this life. Are you a Christian today? I want to invite you to become a Christian. Why? Because Jesus Christ has come. Jesus Christ has died on the cross. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is enthroned in heaven. And Jesus Christ is coming back again shortly. And we all want you to be with us. And Jesus has made the greatest impact and is the number one most influential person who has ever lived and all of history. And I want to ask you, those of you who don't know him, influential in what way? Influential in areas of compassion, of love, of mercy. Influential in things that are all good, holy, just, and pure. Great things Jesus traffics in. Jesus does. Don't you think it's rather interesting that the world today is against Jesus Christ, but yet very few, if any, can ever explain why they're against him? I hear people say, well, I don't want to ever be a Christian or come to Christ, ever. Why? And if you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, it's because somebody ripped them off. It could have been a pastor, it could have been a priest, it could have been a Sunday school teacher, it could have been a, I don't know, anything, whatever. And yet that pastor, that priest, that Sunday school teacher never died for you. Their lives were not written about in the Bible. Jesus was. What's your beef with Christ this morning? Well, I don't like you. You don't have to like me. Well, I don't like Calvary. So what? I'm not into religion. Neither is God. What's your beef with Jesus? Why don't you bow your knee to the one who is so influential regarding love and forgiveness and compassion and mercy, who's truly alive, and let him come on into your life and watch what he does. Are you afraid? Are you scared? He's waiting. He wants to influence you for the good. Making a difference, the Christian ought to be a doer, as we've learned in James before, a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And verse 4 and 5, it says there that Joshua called these 12 men together. And in verse 5, it says that they took the stones from the midst of the Jordan River. I think this is fantastic. All the people had crossed over, and then 12 guys go back into the water. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems kind of strange to go back. But God has a plan. And they're to take these stones, Joshua tells them, and they're going to set them up at the place that they camp out. And so they take them. They obey simply God's command through Joshua. We will influence people by being doers of the word. Nobody will respect you or give you the time of day if you claim to be a Christian and yet you do not do those things that Jesus said that he's asked you to do. He says, why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things I've commanded you? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 22, he says, many in that day of judgment will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name and done many great works in your name, healed people and all? And Jesus says, I'll turn to those who call unto me and say, Lord, Lord, he'll say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work sin. And Jesus says, these will go away into everlasting torment. They were religious on the outside, but they never knew God personally on the inside. They were faithful to go to church. They even tithed a little bit of their God to the God of the Bible. They might have even been involved in Christian service and yet messed the personal relationship with God. The Bible tells us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that a man came to him crying out, falling down on his knees, and pleading with Jesus, saying, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus turned to that man who you know to be the rich young ruler. Jesus went to the last six of the commandments written in the Ten Commandments that have to deal with mankind, man's relationship to man. Jesus took that young rich man, that influential man, to that point, and he said, well, you know what the law says, and he enumerates the last six commandments of the ten that have to do with man's dealing with man. And that rich young ruler said to Jesus, I've kept all these things from my youth. What lack I yet? He was aware that he lacked something. Isn't that amazing? He was rich. You think money's going to help you? You're a fool. Young, oh, if I could just find the fountain of life, the fountain of youth. It's not going to help. Oh, if I just had authority, if I was a ruler, if I could just manage people, that just gives you ulcers. This guy was young, this guy had money, this guy had power, and he says, Jesus, what do I lack still? And Jesus said, why don't you go sell everything you have and come and follow me? Now, God's not calling you to come and sell all that you have to follow him. You know what Jesus did? This man got an A+ on the last 6 commandments. Jesus took him right to the first commandment that covers them all. Immediately, this man had other gods before God. He loved his things. And the Bible says that he went away sad, and Jesus watched him go away, and Jesus was sorrowful in his heart because this man loved his riches. This man was in great need, and yet everybody in the community thought he must have had his act together. We're to be a doer of the word and make a difference in this life. The second thing we see is in verses 6 and 7 regarding our lives making a difference, and that's regarding to the generation to come. Listen to this. Verse 6 and 7 says, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Isn't that great? That's just something like a kid would ask. What do these stones mean to you? What's these stones all about? Aren't kids great? You know, they tell us that child development people tell us that children who ask a lot of questions will grow up to be smarter. Did you know that? See, you're trying to get your kid to shut up. Why? Hey, thank God, the kid's bright. He wants to know. Tell him. Kids ask questions like, why is the sky blue? Tell them. Do you know why it's blue? Tell them that that deep space is absorbing all light frequencies of the spectrum except blue. Did you know that? It sucks up all the frequency of the light spectrum. Space does, except blue. It repels blue. That's why the sky looks blue. It's not blue in reality. It's truly black. But it's blue to our eyes because the deep space is reflecting blue. The spectrum, the frequency of blue. That's why your jacket's red. It's reflecting red. It's not absorbing red. It's very weird. It's very cool. I like that. When God looks at us, we're covered in the what? The blood of Christ. It reflects red back unto God the Father when he looks at us. Kids ask great questions to learn. Why am I alive? Can you tell them? To worship God, son. That's what the Bible says.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the first 10 verses of Joshua chapter 4. It's a study called Life and What It Should Mean. It's an insightful lesson in how our Creator is in control of the events of history because, quite simply, He is the author of time, past, present, and future. Life and What It Should Mean is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this fascinating Old Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember that you can visit us at realradioactive.org and drop Pastor Jack a line of encouragement. You know, he really does love to get those messages. realradioactive.org, and then click on Radio Reaction. Type in your message to Pastor Jack, and you can also read what other folks have written, like this one from a listener in the Northeast. He says, Pastor Jack, I must thank you. You've helped me so much with your sermons. I truly enjoy the time I get to spend listening to your messages on Bridge FM in the Metro New Jersey, New York area. Your straightforward, no-nonsense approach is clear, exciting, and revealing. I also enjoy your sense of humor very much. Thank you for allowing the Lord to work through you to help others understand the truth. May the Lord bless you and your loved ones. Now that comes from James in New Jersey. James, thank you so much for that. Again, go to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click on Radio Reaction. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.